We've got mess to deal with. There's mess 60 miles to the south in Bloomington, Indiana. Liberal, progressive, Bloomington, Indiana has mess on the campus of Indiana University. Evidently, back in 2006, specifically on May the 5th, 2006, at the recommendation of then IU President Adam Herbert and IU's Vice President for Diversity, Dr. Charlie Nelms, they went to the Board of Trustees. They spearheaded an effort to the board that resulted in a resolution being unanimously approved by the Indiana University Board of Trustees. And that resolution said, quote, they endorsed the recommended goal of doubling the enrollment of underrepresented minorities on the Bloomington campus by 2013-2014. And the resolution also said the president of Indiana University and the provost of the IU Bloomington campus will develop a budget to support this strategy as well as identify potential sources of funding for presentation to the Board of Trustees. Well, underrepresented minorities, y'all know what that's, Black and Latino and Native American. Those groups on the IU Bloomington campus, both students and faculty, are deeply concerned because the Board of Trustees passed this resolution. They endorsed this unanimously, and the IU administration has dropped the ball, hidden the ball, not doing anything with the ball, and backsliding. And from the information I'm getting, they would rather recruit students of color who are not Americans, and nothing wrong with having people who aren't Americans come to America and get the best education in the world, but at the price of not increasing the numbers of minority students who are American attending the IU Bloomington campus. So there's going to be a rally tomorrow down in Bloomington at the Sample Gate. That's where everybody has a rally in Bloomington. That's like Monument Circle is here in Indianapolis at 1 o'clock at this time tomorrow. It's being sponsored by the IU Diversity Coalition, and they are protesting the university's lack of commitment to domestically diverse, that's African-American and Latino-American students, in programs like the Hudson and Holland Scholars, Group Scholars Programs, 21st Century Scholars, etc. On our live line is one of the coalition's leaders, Leighton Johnson. Mr. Johnson, welcome.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm fine. So what is going on down at IU Bloomington? You know, we were focused on the basketball team, how well they were doing, number one seed. But it seems like in the euphoria of the basketball team, there was a cancer on the Bloomington campus. What's going on?
Well, it's been going on a long time since before we got good again on the basketball team. But really, what's going on is, from what we can see, there's a lack of support for a lot of diversity programs on campus. Mm-hmm. And there's a sense of the university trying to look good on face and, you know, publicize everything that's going on with programs.
Right.
But behind the scenes, there's undercutting and support for a lot of programs. There's a lot of behind the scenes political agendas being conveyed and displayed, and just loss of funding, loss of advisors, programs, and just an overall climate that isn't comfortable for the students, domestically diverse students that are here right now.
Yes.
And we feel that there's more of a push for international diversity than domestic diversity, as you said.
Is part of it, because one of the things I hear, and we're doing a program on Tuesday about the problem in the state of Indiana at our state-supported universities with African-American students attending those universities, needing a disproportionate number, remedial courses before they even start their freshman year. There's concern that African-Americans, this is from the state, the Commission on Higher Education.
Yeah, I read that last night.
Yeah, that they are concerned that African-Americans start our universities and they don't finish on time in 4 years. So is part of this that Bloomington doesn't have the counselors, the mentors, the role models to help the black undergraduate students make it through IU in 4 years? And it's almost like if you're a student athlete, if you're on the basketball team, you got counselors, you got mentors to make sure you go to class and make sure you do everything. It sounds like the regular students don't have that.
Well, so we have the two main programs that bring in, specifically talking to African-American students, are the Group Scholars Program mm-hmm. and Hudson Holland Scholars Program. And the majority of black students come in through those two programs. And so as far as not having advisors with Hudson Holland, last year our program fell to two full-time advisors for about 680-ish students.
Wait a minute. Two advisors for 600?
Well, two full-time staff. Last year we had two full-time staff. Mm-hmm. And there was one interim director, and then there was one full-time advisor, and then we had about five graduate assistants.
Right.
But graduate assistants only work 20 hours a week, and it's not their major responsibility to fully advise the students. That's what full-time advisors are for within the program.
Right.
And so just specifically in Hudson Holland, we had our highest graduation rate was for the 2008 graduating class, and it was 88%.
All right.
But after the summer of 2007, as staff were leaving, the positions weren't being replaced, and our graduation rate ended up dropping after about 5 years to 72%. So that was a 16% drop in the graduation rate of the Hudson Holland Scholars Program.
Mm-hmm.
And from there was a lot of questions about why aren't staff being replaced, why aren't there strong initiatives to hire more full-time staff. And so when we asked about why, just specifically in Hudson Holland, why that program couldn't get more staff,
right.
The answer is, oh, there's a 2010 hiring freeze in the university, so that's why positions weren't being rehired. So then that says to us, so IU's a multi-billion dollar industry,
mm-hmm.
plenty of money. So is a hiring freeze more important than advising students?
Yeah.
And that's the sense that we got. And so there's money across the board. And to not replace advisors in a minority scholars program just states your commitment to that program. And so we had to go to the trustees meeting last year
mm-hmm.
and rally and fight just to get three more full-time staff. Program. So now we have five line items for full-time staff, but that's still not enough because now our class sizes, our incoming classes are doubling,
mm-hmm.
and our next incoming class is going to probably be over 270 when we usually took in about 150, 160.
Is IU attracting more African-American students to the Bloomington campus, or are they attracting more Hispanic and Asian than they are African-American?
Mm-hmm. Well, with the whole Hispanic part, in 2010, that changed the whole metric of how you count the ethnicity of a person.
Right.
So you're probably familiar with that. So you end up having a lot of students put white and Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up having a lot of students put Hispanic and black. And so that counts as... If you put Hispanic and black, that counts as
right.
races, yeah. So you were really attracting more non-black students to the programs because there wasn't that push for black students because if the state said or the school says that there aren't enough qualified black students within the state to meet the promise to double the enrollment. And so a lot of students from, like, the Gary area, from my area in South Bend,
right.
from South Bend and Elkhart area, we didn't feel a push from IU to recruit black students in the area.
So wait a minute.
Yeah.
So IU is saying there's not enough qualified students. Is that's their excuse this week?
Well, that was their excuse in an article earlier. And there's actually the vice provost enrollment manager commented, and he said that I believe IU isn't a revolving door. And then when I speak to other personnel, people say that there aren't, that upper administration says there aren't enough qualified black students based on test scores, and basically test scores is what they say keeps students from being admitted.
There may be listeners that may not understand, because they may remember back in the day when all you had to do was be from Indiana, have a high school diploma, and breathing. Mm-hmm. And you got into IU Bloomington. Right. What's the minimum? What kind of SAT do you have to walk into the Bloomington campus?
I mean, the average now is around a 3.6.
3.6 GPA?
IU's trying to become the Harvard of the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
And so they're raising test score minimums, raising GPAs, and, you know, they're trying to rival schools like U of M,
mm-hmm.
and become a more prestigious university. And become, you know, public Ivy. We're already, you know, considered a public Ivy, but become a high caliber public Ivy. So, and the sense that we have gotten is that they'd rather send a lot of these black students to Ivy Tech or satellite schools, uh-huh. to, instead of bringing them to IU through a program like Group Scholars Program. So there's that whole access to higher education movement in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Where a program like Group Scholars came from,
right.
And now to us it seems like the university doesn't prioritize access. Now it's more prioritized towards prestige and privilege.
Let me go. We're talking with Leighton Johnson. He is part of the IU Diversity Coalition. Is this students and faculty?
Well, we meet. It's mainly comprised of all undergraduate students,
uh-huh.
and then we talk with a lot of graduate students. And faculty and staff.
Okay.
And so we try to get a holistic view of what the issues are, what the problems are. And so we've talked with over a dozen faculty, you know, over a dozen staff, several grad students. So we get the whole picture. It's not just one faculty telling us what to do or two faculty telling us what to do.
239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons Amos with Leighton Johnson. He's with the IU Diversity Coalition. This is a situation developing on the Bloomington campus, the main campus of the Indiana University system. Martin has a question, comment for the guest. Let me go to Martin. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
My name is Martin. I'm actually a student at Ivy Tech Community College in mm-hmm. Indianapolis. And I was just tuning into the radio station this afternoon. One of the biggest problems that I had, because I've actually applied to IU Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
And with my application to IU Bloomington, when I went down there, there was no one like me. There were no students that had my same skin color, mm-hmm. no clubs that reached out to me, no advisors that reached out to me. But the problem I hear is that IU is saying that it's the African-American students that aren't good enough. No, we've been good enough. We get good grades. We reach the top of our classes. However, places like IU, they don't open the door for us to be able to finance our education.
Mm.
For me to go to IU, it was almost $30,000 a year. I come from a single-parent mother's home. My grade point average was a 3.0. I graduated from Charles A. Tinley Accelerated School in Indianapolis. And it's a shame that in my own state, I can't go to the school that I want to, which is IU, to be a part of the Kelley School of Business. And I have to go to Ivy Tech just so I can afford and finance my education to get to that place of IU.
Let me ask you, what was your SAT?
My SAT was like a 1500, I think. It was high. I had high grades. My SAT, my ACT were both high.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the original students of the Charles A. Tinley School. I'm actually the first student to ever enroll in the school.
Right.
And when I ended up graduating, my grades and everything were good. My SAT scores were good. I actually got accepted to Sullivan University in Louisville, Kentucky, and spent my first year there before I came back to Ivy Tech just so I can actually be able to afford my education.
And why is Bloomington so expensive? I thought that's a state school. Leighton Johnson? They y'all high.
It seems as though the cost of tuition in order to go to IU Bloomington to be able to stay on the campus and actually succeed, you would need to have a job where you're pulling in almost $2,000 or $3,000 a month just to be able to afford your education. And if you're doing that, you won't have enough time to work your job and go to school to get good grades. So it seems like the system is set up for the African American students to fail.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you, Martin. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Name. So now you mentioned Leighton Johnson, Harvard.
Yeah.
So, and Harvard's a private school, so they don't necessarily have to reveal their ethnic composition, because that's not a school supported by the taxpayers of Massachusetts.
Right, right.
So I went to Harvard's website because I still have a little research in me.
Okay.
And they had their enrollment. Okay. They had the data broken down all kinds of 45 different ways to Sunday. And I found out of the undergraduates at Harvard in the current class in this school year, 2012-2013, 6.5% of the undergraduates at Harvard are African American. I didn't even bother looking to Hispanic. Just us, as we call it on the program. 6.5% compared with IU Bloomington's 4.1%.
Okay.
Then I said, wait a minute now. Let me look at IUPUI. So now IUPUI of this current class, 9.7% in IUPUI are African American. I tried to go to Indiana State's website. I couldn't make head nor tails of their enrollment data, so I don't have theirs. Went over to Ball State. 6.4% of Ball State's undergraduates in this current school year are African American. Went up and checked Brother Mitch Daniels School, Purdue, and they're only 3.3%. of African American undergraduates at Purdue are black. And that's lower than IU, but then again, it's Purdue.
Right, right.
I even checked my alma mater, Northwestern University.
Okay.
And that's a private school in the Big Ten.
Okay.
And they didn't have the data for all the undergraduates. They just showed me the freshman class.
Okay.
That was 8%.
Okay.
And you got to rob a bank to go to Northwestern.
Right, right.
And I'm going, wait a minute, if Northwestern can be 8% black in the freshman class, which probably means with attrition is probably in the 6% range.
Mm.
If Harvard, school the president went to,
right, right.
is 6.5%, I even went and kind of peaked Michigan. Michigan percentage of black undergraduates is higher than IU's. I didn't even have time to get to Iowa. And see, now y'all got me fired up. I'm going to have to, over the weekend, do all the Big Ten schools, including the two we're getting to bring into the Big Ten, to see where IU is. But my thing is, IU, the percentage of black students at IU Bloomington should not be less than Harvard, should not be less than the school I went to, Northwestern. We should be near the top of the Big Ten, especially with the trustees swore in blood. Let's double the number. Let me go to Karen, has a question or a comment at 239-1310. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Amos.
How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you. Thank you for having this young man on to highlight the concerns. I am a parent of two Bloomington students. One graduated, actually, last year. One is graduating this year. I have more students, but unfortunately, they are not able to get into IU Bloomington. This concern really, the community really needs to come alongside these students and support them. We need to stop sleeping on the plantation and really hold that administration accountable.
Why can't they why can't they get admitted to IU Bloomington?
Well, because they really, Layton was explaining that the standards, I mean, just in the few years that my students have been down there, you would be shocked at the students that are waitlisted. I mean, students who were like top 30 students, you know, across the board, they have really, raised, the standard for accepting these students. And it's really difficult. And I just feel that the black community really needs to, take this. We need to rally because IU is just one campus. There are many campuses where this trend is occurring.
Well, here's
around the state.
But here's what's got me confused. If you look at Harvard as the standard, where you almost got to have a perfect SAT to walk into Harvard, right? How is it they can have a higher percentage of their undergraduate student body be African American? Obviously, somebody at Harvard said, we're not going to accept 3 and 4%.
No, because it's not a priority. They think one of the things even we have to understand is that we have a right to be on these campuses, Amos.
Mm-hmm.
We have built this country. Our ancestors built this country with our not only with our backs, but with our hands and our minds, okay? We were here from day one. America would not be a superpower, okay, without us. There would be no super in the power. There'd be no power if it were. So we're not asking for a handout. We deserve a right. That campus wouldn't be what it is today had it not been for Africa, our ancestors, building this country and making it great.
And I'm wondering what the legendary Herman B. Wells that knocked down a lot of color barriers back in the day when it was not fashionable to knock down color barriers in Indiana at Indiana University in Bloomington, the legendary president of IU. I'd wonder what Herman B. Wells would think today. He'd probably rise up out of the grave and start smacking some folk.
Yes. As the community, the African-American community has got to stop sleeping. We have got to monitor what's going on these campuses, and we have got to come alongside these young people. You asked about a power vacuum,
right.
You know, a leadership vacuum several months ago. Here's our leaders. Mm-hmm. They're down there toiling. But, you know, they're so busy with their noses to the grindstone, sometimes they're not able to let the community at large know.
All right, good point.
We need all of our organizations, NAACP, Urban League, NAN, everybody, the community, parents, we need to, I hope that you're going to have the president back on and maybe the president of DEMA to come on and, you know, be accountable.
All right, I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's Names with Leighton Johnson with the IU Diversity Coalition. Now, Leighton, I know every university has a Department of Diversity.
Right, right.
So what is Indiana University's Department of, I think they call it Department of Diversity, Multiculturalism, and Equity. What are they doing? Are they with you fighting? Are they beating up on President McRobbie? Are they standing shoulder to shoulder with you, or are they hiding out?
So what's interesting is there was actually last Thursday a black faculty and staff emergency meeting,
mm-hmm.
and they called the meeting because of the rally
we're
having this Friday. So, I really don't get too much into personal stuff, but just what I know is that the vice president of DEMA doesn't have a lot of the black faculty's support.
Wait a minute, is he black?
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. A black vice president at IU Bloomington in charge of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Multicultural Affairs, he don't have the support of the black faculty on campus?
Not as much as you would think.
That's not good.
But the real issue in DEMA is, so what they call it, runs in with the associate vice president of academic support and advising position.
Mm-hmm.
In that position, there is special assistant to the vice president, and he is acting in a capacity that isn't what the position is for. So he's substituting in that position, and what we need is someone qualified with either a higher education background or a skill set, because that position, that associate vice president position, advises groups in Hudson Holland and 21st century programs. And so you have this person there, he puts a business model on these programs, and that's why Dr. Virginia LeBlanc is actually suing the university because of sexual harassment allegations.
Ooh.
From that individual.
So, this person you're talking about, is he of color?
Yeah, he's black. I've never met the man. I just heard a lot. There's no one in that associate vice president position.
So, where's the president of the university? Where's Dr. Michael McRobbie? Because usually if you got some kind of campus controversy, at some point the president of the university says, hey, let us sit down together, let us find out what your grievances are, and then he'll refer that to the proper area. So what's Dr. McRobbie doing?
He doesn't meet with black people, or he doesn't meet with underrepresented people.
He doesn't meet with who?
Underrepresented students.
Hold it. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're telling me that the president of the Indiana University system, whose salary I help pay, actually I help pay his salary two ways. One, I help pay his salary because I'm a taxpayer of Indiana. Two, because I have cable And part of my cable bill goes to the Big Ten Network, and part of the money of the Big Ten Network goes to Indiana University. I'm paying Dr. McRobbie's salary two ways. You're telling me that the president of IU does not want to sit down and meet with students of color?
Nope. We, the Hudson Holland Advisory Council, emailed him last year and about our program deteriorating, and so he referred us to Vice President Dr. Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever the black faculty tries to meet with McRobbie, he sends them to Vice President Dr. Marshall.
So wait. I might buy not wanting to meet with students. But when the faculty tries to meet with the president and he sloughs them off, I got problems. You sure your president's name is not Greg Ballard?
I don't know. Who is that? I'm not sure.
Oh, no, that's a long story. We'll fill you in on that later.
Yeah, okay.
The audience understands. They get the joke. That's an Indianapolis joke as opposed to a Bloomington joke. I cannot believe that the president of a major university would not sit down with a representative student group or representative faculty constituency about an issue.
Right. Now, the provost, so basically our group and the black faculty, they meet with the provost.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that's the chief academic officer of a university, provost. Mm-hmm.
And she does a really good job of meeting with people and finding out their issues. We met with her last year and talked to her about the getting more full-time staff, ended up getting three more full-time staff.
Right.
But there was a black faculty and staff meeting last Thursday, and so the vice president of DEMA and the provost of the university both came. And so it was really just putting out the issues, and then I was speaking on why the students are rallying. And then another student spoke on harassment from the special assistant to the vice president in a classroom setting, and that nothing was being done about it.
All right, 239-1310. I'm going to go to CL right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. I'm first like to congratulate Martin for being the first student at Charles Tinley and ending up in college.
Mm.
So congratulate him. But, Layden, you can count on the concerned clergy of Indianapolis to be there with you all tomorrow and to walk along to support y'all. This is unbelievable. You know, I graduated from IUPUI with my MSW program.
Mm.
But this is unbelievable. It is, Amos, what you said, the president, with all this going down, and the president ain't got time for this? They are planning a rally tomorrow, and he still won't sit down and try to deal with this? That is non-acceptable. You can count on us. Are you still there?
Yeah, he's still there. Layden?
Yeah, right. I'm still here.
So I don't know if you can tell me on the air or something, but I'd like to know how to get in contact with you and how we can walk along beside you and support you.
Yeah, we have a IU Diversity Coalition Gmail. So are you ready to take the address down?
Yeah.
IU Diversity Coalition at gmail.com.
And you can also reach me at R-E-Z as in Reverend, R-E-Z, my last name, Day, D-A-Y.
D-A-Y.
At CCI, Concerned Clergy of Indianapolis.
Okay.
What is it? R-E-V-D-A-Y, C-C-I, at gmail.com.
So R-E-V-D-A-Y, C-C-I, at gmail.com.
Yeah, and for me, whatever information, where do I come tomorrow at 1 o'clock?
Temple Gates off of Kirkwood.
Temple Gate?
Sample Gates.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can actually, when you email me, I'll give you my phone number, and then you can call me, and then we can actually talk. We could even talk about it tonight if you would like to.
I'll call you when you're off the air.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Appreciate it. So if people want more information, the rally is tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Sample Gates. That's where everybody protests stuff, right?
Right, right.
And that's at what, Indiana and Kirkwood?
Yep.
Right there at the corner of university going toward where the bars are.
Yep, right okay. out. And it's right outside of the administrative offices.
Okay. And that'll be at 1 o'clock.
1 p.m.
Come in the proper frame of mind. But this is a mess. Have you all been in touch with any African-American legislators?
Actually, we have. There's three African-American legislators coming down for the rally, definitely.
Uh-oh.
And they're trying to talk to – we're hoping Andre Carson would come down.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're trying to talk to the Black Caucus in Indianapolis and just get as much support as possible.
Well, now, wait a minute. If three legislators come down and they decide on how much money the universities get.
Yep, yep.
Because I bet President McRobbie will talk to a black legislator. He may not want to talk to a black student, a black faculty. He got to talk to a legislator.
Mm-hmm. I believe he
wants some money.
I had a meeting with them last week.
Mm-hmm.
But then I heard that they dismissed it as just disgruntled faculty complaints.
Gee, I wonder what they're going to say to me when I get a hold of them. We will let you know because we this is ridiculous. I mean, I want to hear the people from IU tell me why Harvard and why the school I went to has a greater percentage of African-American students on their campus than Indiana University. I know one thing. Harvard's aggressive at finding the best students out there.
Oh, yeah.
Northwestern is aggressive finding the best students out there. I bet you some of these other Big Ten schools are aggressive finding the best students out there. You cannot tell me when 10% of the state is African-American, when the number of African-American youth is increasing, when the number of African-American graduates of our high schools are increasing, that you can't find qualified African-American. It sounds if they're just going to sit there and wait for qualified African Americans to show up at IU in Bloomington, they in a dream world. They got to get up off their you know what and go out and recruit.
Right, definitely. I mean, we have a recruitment office. It's called Moore.
Yeah.
But it's like one full time staff member and a bunch of student volunteers.
No, you got to have an army.
Yeah, you got to have
an army. You got to have a mechanism. You got to be able to flood folks with mail and everything. All right, so if people want more information, they can go to email you all at iudiversitycoalition@gmail.com. Is that correct?
Precisely.
And I understand you all have a Facebook page?
Yes, we also have a Facebook page, and we have an event page for it. And so you can look up on Facebook, Indiana University Diversity Coalition.
So Indiana University all spelled out Diversity Coalition on Facebook.
Yep.
Leighton Johnson. You know, first of all, somebody sent me an email cold to our email at praiseindy.com. That's how I found out about you guys. See, the Lord works when he wants his children to know what is going on. So, I thank that person that originally sent me the email and tipped me off to you guys. I appreciate you all being here. Good luck to you all tomorrow.
Thanks so much.
And we as they say at the track, we're on it. Okay?
All right. Thanks. And thanks for all the support. It means a lot to us.
All right. Appreciate it. 239-13. What a mess.